This is an independent project funded by no one else but our listeners. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. Details are in the descriptions. Thank you. Journey to the West, an audio drama series. Chapter 13, Part 2. After half a day of walking, Sun Zhang still couldn't find any people or village residents. He was both hungry and troubled by the uneven roads. As danger loomed, he saw two pairs of mighty tigers roaring ahead, and several long snakes circling behind. On the left, there were menacing monsters, and on the right, there were strange beasts. Sun Zhang was alone and helpless, so he laid down his body and heart as he awaited heaven to decide on his fate. What was worse, the horse was weak all over, even losing control of its bowels and bladder. As it fell onto the ground, the horse was no longer movable by beating or tugging. Desperate, the reverend had nowhere to hide and became overwhelmed with sorrow. He thought he was certain to die there, and there was nothing he could do about it. But even deep in danger, he still had help coming his way. As the end drew near, he suddenly saw the menacing monsters and beasts running away, and the tigers and snakes going into hiding. Sun Zhang looked up and saw a man before him. He was holding a steel trident with bow and arrows hanging on his waist. Turning from the foot of the hill, he was indeed a fine warrior. Look at him. A hat on his head made from the skin of spotted leopards. A robe on his body made from fine wool. A belt with a lion emblem by the waist, and a pair of boots made from deer skin. With large eyes and a curly beard, he resembled frightening deities from legends. A bag of poison arrows hung with his bow. In his hands was a quenched steel trident, huge and hard. His voice, loud as thunder, shook all the mountain beasts to their nerves. His bravery scared away what little remained of a wild pheasant's soul. Sun Zhang saw him coming near, so he knelt down by the road and folded his palms, shouting, "Great King, save me! Save me, Great King!" The man approached, put down his steel trident, and helped Sun Zhang up, saying, "Be not afraid, Elder. I am no bandit. I am a hunter in this mountain. My last name is Liu, and given name Bo Qin. Zhen Shan Tai Bao, or the Grand Guardian of the Mountain, is my nickname. I was just coming by myself to find a couple mountain beasts for food. I didn't expect to meet you. I apologize for offending," Sun Zhang replied. "I am an imperial envoy of Great Tang, a monk heading to West Heaven to find Buddha and seek scriptures. I happened to arrive at this place where I came across these many wolves, tigers, snakes, and beasts. They surrounded me and kept me from moving forward. Just now, the Grand Guardian arrived and drove them all away. You saved the life of this humble cleric. Thank you. Thank you," Bo Qin said. "I am a local resident. I make a living by hunting wolves and tigers and catching some snakes and crawlers. That's why they are all afraid of me and ran away. Since you come from the nation of Tang, we are actually compatriots. For this is still within the borders of Great Tang, making me a citizen of Tang as well. We both live on the soil and water of the Emperor, which means we are fellow countrymen. Be not afraid and follow me. Rest your horse at my place and I will send you on your way tomorrow morning." Sun Zhang was filled with delight by his words. He thanked Bo Qin and followed him with the horse. After crossing to the other side of the hill, a strong wind approached again. Bo Qin said, "Don't move, Elder. Just sit here. Where the wind blows comes a mountain cat. Wait as I catch it to serve you." Sun Zhang heard his words and began panicking again. He dared not move a single step. The Grand Guardian wielded his steel trident and dashed forward in wide strides. And right there, A striped tiger met him face to face. It saw Bo Qin and hurriedly turn around to flee, but the Grand Guardian let out a thunderous roar. "Cursed beast! Where do you think you're going?" The tiger saw him getting close and turned around to charge at him with flailing claws. The Grand Guardian held up his trident to fight back, which scared the living wits out of San Zhang, sending him limp on the grass. When has this monk ever witnessed such violence since the day he left the womb? The Grand Guardian and the tiger were below the hill as man and beast fought a tight battle. What a spectacular fight! Anger filled the air like a violent wind. One brandished its fangs and claws, the other was swift to turn and dodge. Over here, the trident came down with wild stabs at the chest. Over there, the mouth of the beast wanted to swallow the foe's face. In a flash, one might be reborn into a human. Should they clash, someone was bound to end up in the world below. Their roars could tear the mountain open and break through the gates of heaven. What an admirable Grand Guardian Liu of the mountain, worthy of the title King of Earthbound Beasts. The two fought for an entire Shichen. By then, the tiger's paws were slowing down and waist turning rather loose. The Grand Guardian raised his trident and stabbed backward at chest level. Poor creature! The tips of the trident penetrated its internal organs, instantly forming a pool of blood on the ground. The hunter dragged the animal by the ear and came uphill. What a mighty man! He wasn't at all panting, and there was not a trace of the fight on his face. He told San Zhang, "What luck, what luck! This mountain cat is enough for you to enjoy for a whole day." San Zhang was also full of praise, saying, "The Grand Guardian is truly a mountain god." Bo Qin said, "This is nothing. I don't deserve the compliment. I owe this to the immense blessing you brought. Let's go. Let's hurry up and skin this thing so the meat can be cooked to serve you." With the trident in one hand and tiger in the other, he led the way ahead. San Zhang followed him while tugging the horse. Having meandered past the hill, they came to a mountain cottage. And by its entrance, there grew aged trees reaching the skies, accompanied by wild vines, flowers, and bamboo. The straw gate and fenced yard looked as if they came from a painting. The stone bridge and white walls were truly delightful and extraordinary. The crisp autumn air was a breath of austerity. Yellow leaves fell by the road as white clouds floated above the ridge. Inside the sparse forest were the cries of mountain birds. Outside the cottage gate, a skinny hound barked non-stop. Bo Qin arrived at the gate and tossed the dead tiger on the ground, yelling, "Where are the little ones?" Out came three or four house servants, all looking rather strange and repulsive, who dragged and tugged before carrying the tiger inside. Bo Qin ordered, "Hurry up and skin it so it can be used to serve the guest." He then turned around to greet San Zhang inside. Having finally caught up with him, San Zhang once again thanked Bo Qin for his deep favor of saving his life with such compassion. Bo Qin said, "We are compatriots. This isn't worth thanking for." Once they sat down and had tea, an old woman brought the wife out and they both greeted San Zhang. Bo Qin said, "This is my mother and this is my wife." San Zhang said, "Pray ask the old madam to take the honored seat, so the humble cleric could pay his respect." The old woman said, "The elder is a guest from afar. May we all take care of ourselves. There is no need for the formalities." Bo Qin explained, "Mother, he serves under the Tang Emperor and is sent to the West Heaven to see Buddha for scriptures. He happened to meet your child on the ridge top just now. Considering that we are fellow countrymen, your child has brought him home to rest the horse. Tomorrow I shall send him on his way." The old lady heard this and was overjoyed, saying, "Good, good, very good. Even if you had purposely invited him, he wouldn't have been so right on time. Tomorrow is the anniversary of your father's passing. Do ask the elder to do some good service for us, reading a scroll of scriptures and such. And on the day after tomorrow, you can see him off." Liu Bo Qin may be a tiger killer and mountain guardian, but he also had a filial heart. After hearing what his mother said, he started preparing incense and paper money and asked Sun Zhang to stay. Just as they were talking, without realizing, the sky has turned dark. The servants set out tables and stools before serving several plates of well-cooked tiger meat, steaming hot and laid out. Bo Qin asked Sun Zhang to eat some now as other dishes were being prepared. Sun Zhang folded his palms before his chest and said, "That is very kind of you, but to be honest, Grand Guardian, this humble cleric has been a monk since leaving my mother's womb. I am unable to consume meat." Bo Qin heard his words and fell into long and deep silence before explaining, "Elder, this modest family for generations has been unable to have a vegetarian diet. I suppose we do have some bamboo shoots. We can also pluck wood ears, find some dry vegetables, and make bean curds. However, those will still be fried with the oil from deer, tigers, and leopards, and there is nothing vegetarian about it. My two cooking pots are also soaked in grease. What should we do? It's my fault that I invited the elder here," Sun Zhang said. "Worry not, Grand Guardian. Please enjoy the food yourself. This humble cleric can manage 3 to 5 days without eating. I can handle starvation, but I dare not break the dietary commandment." Bo Qin asked, "If you were starved to death, what then?" Sun Zhang answered, "Thanks to the Grand Guardian, I was rescued from the midst of tigers and wolves. Even if I starved to death, it would still be better than being fed to a tiger." Bo Qin's mother heard their conversation and interrupted, "My child, stop talking nonsense to the elder. I do have vegetarian food ready to serve." Bo Qin asked, "Where did the vegetables come from?" His mother answered, "It's none of your business. I have got vegetables all right." She then asked her daughter-in-law to take down a small cooking pot and burnt the grease on it with fire. Then she scrubbed and rinsed it repeatedly before placing it on the stove. She first boiled half a pot of water for later use, and then cooked the leaves of the loose strife plant in water to make soup. Afterwards, she cooked some yellow millet to make rice. Some dry vegetables were also cooked and served on the table in two bowls. The old mother said to Sun Zhang, "Elder, please enjoy this vegetarian meal. This old woman and my son's wife have put together the cleanest drinks and food with our own hands." Sun Zhang left his seat to thank them before returning to be seated. Bo Qin then set up another place to serve tiger meat, roe deer meat, snake meat, fox meat, along with grounded rabbit meat and dried deer meat. Though without salt or sauce, they filled every plate and bowl. He was going to eat next to Sun Zhang, who was having vegetarian food. As he sat down and was just about to raise his chopsticks, he noticed Sun Zhang folded his palms and began chanting scriptures. Bo Qin panicked and dared not move the chopsticks, only to hastily stand aside. Sun Zhang merely muttered several sentences before saying, "Please start the meal." Bo Qin asked, "Are you one of those monks who chant short scriptures?" Sun Zhang explained, "That was no scripture. It was a prayer before meal." Bo Qin said, "You, who are out of the family of all people, are so particular about everything. Even when you eat, you have to chant something." It was getting late when they were done eating and putting away the dishes. Bo Qin brought Sun Zhang out from the main hall to have a stroll at the back. After walking through a corridor, they arrived at a straw pavilion. They opened the door and went inside, only to find several heavy bows and crossbows hanging on the four walls, along with some quivers of arrows. On the crossbeams hung two pieces of tiger skin, still smelling of blood. By the foot of the walls stood many spears, knives, tridents, and sticks. Right in the middle were two seats. Bo Qin invited Sun Zhang to sit down. Sun Zhang found the place terribly scary and filthy, so he didn't sit for very long before leaving the straw pavilion. The pair walked further into the back and arrived at a large garden. Endless in sight were clumps of yellow chrysanthemum and red maple trees. With a rustle, out came over a dozen fat deer and a huge herd of roe deer. They behaved rather gently in front of humans and were not at all afraid. Sanzang asked, I assume you kept these deer as property. Bojin explained, People like you who come from the city of Chang'an hoard treasures if you're rich and grain if you own land. Hunters like us can only raise some wild animals for rainy days. The two chatted on as they walked, and soon the sun had set. They then returned to the front residence to rest. The next morning, everyone in the family got up to prepare a vegetarian meal for the elder. Sanzang was invited to read scriptures for the occasion. The elder cleaned his hands and lit incense with the grand guardian before the family shrine. Only after having paid their respect to the ancestors did Sanzang start beating the wooden fish. He first read the true spells to purify sins of the mouth, then a divine prayer to purify the body and mind. After that, he read a scroll of sutra on deliverance of the dead. Once he was done chatting, Wotin asked him to write a letter of introduction to be burnt for the deliverance of the dead. Then he began reading the Diamond Sutra and Guan Yin Sutra with a clear and loud voice. After that, they had a vegetarian lunch before resuming to read several chapters of the Lotus Sutra and Amitabha Sutra. Then, a chapter of the Peacock Sutra was read before he told the story of the monk whose filth and sins were cured by Buddha washing him. Soon it was dark again. After making various offerings and burning all the paper gods and horses along with the letter of introduction, the Buddhist service came to a conclusion and everyone left to rest. We now go to the soul of Bojin's father, who was allowed to leave the depths thanks to the letter of deliverance. His ghost soon returned to his former residence and delivered a dream to every member of the household, saying, I have been suffering in the underworld without a way out and waited a very long time without a chance of rebirth. Now, thanks to the holy monk who read scriptures and wiped out my sins, King Yan has ordered his people to send me to the prosperous land of China, where I will be reborn into a family of wealth. Do thank the elder and treat him well. Do not be negligent. Do not be negligent. I shall leave now. This was truly, the boundless law has a solemn purpose, to deliver the dead from pain and prediction. The family woke up from the dream and soon the sun rose in the east. Bojin's wife said, Grand Guardian, last night I dreamt of dear father returning home. He said he had been suffering in the underworld without a way out and waited a very long time without a chance of rebirth. Now, thanks to this holy monk who read scriptures and wiped out his sins, King Yan has ordered his people to send him to the prosperous land of China, where he will be reborn into a family of wealth. He instructed us to thank the elder and treat him well, and we shall not be negligent. After that, he went out the door and drifted away. We kept calling his name, but he didn't reply, so we couldn't make him stay. Then I woke up and realized it was a dream. Bojin said, I too had a dream that was exactly the same as yours. We shall go talk to mother. The two were just about to leave when they heard their old mother calling, Bojin, my child. Come over here. I have something to tell you. The couple approached and found the old mother sitting up in bed, telling them, My son, I just had a happy dream last night. I dreamt of your father coming home. He said, thanks to the elder's deliverance, he had his sins wiped out and would be reborn in the prosperous land of China into a family of wealth. Both husband and wife laughed out loud, saying, We both had the same dream. We were just going to tell you about it when you unexpectedly called for us, and it was for the same dream. They then gathered the entire family to thank Sanzang for what he did. They also helped him pack up and prepare the horse before bowing in gratitude, saying, Thank you, Elder, for delivering my late father out of suffering and into rebirth. We couldn't thank you enough. Sanzang said, This humble cleric has no talent. I don't deserve your gratitude. Bojin told him all about the dream the three of them had. Sun Zhang was also overjoyed. Soon, a vegetarian meal was served and the family also offered a tael of silver. Sun Zhang would not accept any money as reward. The family kept begging and pleading, yet Sun Zhang still would not take it. He told them, "If you would be so compassionate to escort me for some distance, that would be more than enough to express your love." Bo Qin, his mother and wife, couldn't convince him otherwise. So they hurry up and prepare some baked and dry food instead before telling Bo Qin to escort him further along. Sun Zhang happily accepted the offer. The Grand Guardian obeyed his mother's orders and instructed a couple house servants to bring his hunting tools and go on the journey together. And there in sight was the endless scenery of the mountains and spectacular view of the ridge. They walked for half a day before coming to a mountain on the opposite side. Its rugged and towering form shot up into the azure skies. Soon, Sun Zhang had arrived in front of this mountain. The Grand Guardian made the hike as if he was walking on flat land. When they were halfway up, Bo Qin turned around and stood by the road, saying, "Elder, please go forward on your own. I shall make my way back." Sun Zhang heard his words and rolled down from his saddle, saying, "By all means, I beg the Grand Guardian to escort me further." Bo Qin explained, "Elder, you have no idea. This mountain is called Liangjieshan, the Two Frontier Mountain. Its east side is under the jurisdiction of Great Tang, while the west side belongs to the Tartars. The wolves and tigers on the other side do not submit to me, and I am not allowed to cross the border. That's why I need to make my way back. Please go ahead on your own." Sun Zhang was so alarmed, he reached out to clutch Bo Qin's sleeves, bidding a bitter farewell in tears. Just as they were exchanging final words before departing, a thunderous voice could be heard from the foot of the mountain. "My master has arrived! My master has arrived!" Sun Zhang was shocked numb, while Bo Qin trembled. "We do not know who is calling. Please wait until the next chapter."
Journey to the West, an audio drama series, is an independent production by The Fifth Monkey. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. You will have a chance to access the latest release and other exclusive content. Head to www.thefifthmonkey.com for links to all the platforms we're on and support us on social media. Shares, comments, emails, all are welcome. This is Lin. See you in the next episode.